Blog Talk Radio.
There's a place dear to me where I'm longing to be with my friends at the old country church. There with mother we went and our Sundays were spent with my friends at the old country church.
Precious years of memory, oh what joy they bring to me, how I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. As a small country boy, how my heart beat with joy when I knelt in the old country church. And the Savior above, by His wonderful love, saved my soul in the old country church.
Precious years of memory. Oh, what joy they bring to me. How I long
once more to be with my friends at the old country church. My thoughts make me weep, for so many now sleep in their graves near the old country church. And sometime I may rest with the friends I love best in a grave near the old country church.
Precious years of memory.
With my friends at the old country church.
Well, good morning and greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. All right, let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, as we go into your word, I'm asking Heavenly Father for the Holy Spirit to come forward to speak through me, Father, so that your words are yours and not mine. Now, Father, be with us throughout this study this morning, and I'm asking this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, we're going to be in chapter 3. Of Colossians. So as we get started here in verse 1, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth, for ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. All right. As we take a look now at these verses, these first three, if ye then be risen, the word therefore infers a truth from 2:20. You died with Christ. Not only have the Galatian believers been freed from sin, they have also turned to a new life, leaving behind old ways, habits, values, vices, interests, and sins. And they are seeking those things which are above. These things include deeper knowledge of Christ, closer fellowship with Him, experience of His resurrection power, victory over sin, the development of godly virtues, the fulfillment of domestic and social responsibilities, an effective prayer life, fruitfulness in witnessing, in a word, the attainment of Christian maturity and all the spiritual benefits God has for his people during these days on earth, to have been raised with Christ and not see these blessings would be a contradiction. And he goes on there too to tell us, set your affection on things above. And the Greek word literally says, set your mind on things above. The readers are not to be preoccupied with things on the earth, such as current theoretical philosophy, legalistic practices and vices, nor are they to dwell on things that are not wrong in themselves. Houses, jobs, careers, ambitions, but can be wrong should they become priorities above Christ. In the third verse, your life is hid with Christ in God. Now, you see, that third verse reads, for ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Which is telling you and I that your life is hid with Christ in God. Your life is deposited with Christ, who is in intimate relation with God, as all wisdom and knowledge resides in Christ. So the believer's new life is stored up in him. And this means that the Christian life belongs to the spiritual or heavenly realm. Jesus is in intimate relation with God, so are his followers. Since the Colossians now belong to the heavenly realm and are intimate with God, they should seek those standards and interests pertaining to heaven and not to earth. Those three verses has given us a lot of things to think about. Now, verse 4 here. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory. And he comes back. And one day, he's coming for his church. And those that are ready, we will go back with him, and we'll appear with him in glory. Now, 5. It says, mortify, therefore, your members which are upon their fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry. Now, that word mortify means put to death by figure of speech. Members is put in place of the various sins that exist in and seek to express themselves through different members of the human body. Paul urges his readers to put to death all sins residing in your body members. Therefore, looks back to verse 3, inasmuch as they are dead to sin, they are to make this death to the old life a reality in daily living. We are to make our daily living all for God. Think about these things. You know, and a lot of us don't. We don't think about it. Six, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. We know that those that are not walking with him are walking in his wrath or his anger, but he also loves them, and he wants to see each one come out of that darkness and come to the Lord Jesus Christ and repent and be forgiven and find that salvation and begin to make his journey to heaven by living his life here in and through the Word of God, doing things that God will call upon him to do. Now, seven, in the which he also walked sometimes when you lived in them. Eight, but now ye also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blaspheming, filthy communications out of your mouth. Nine, lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deed. This seeing means sense. The old man is all that a person was prior to salvation. His worldly thinking and sinful acts, since all this was renounced at conversion. One should not, lie not, because falsehood ill becomes the person claiming to be a disciple of him who said, I am the truth. Now, you're going to lie and lie to one another and all and tell lies, and then you claim to be a follower of one that is true. Don't quite work this. Now, 10. And have put on the new man, which is renowned in knowledge after the image of him that created him. That new man is person one becomes after conversion. And he possesses a new nature, values, aspirations, and a new lifestyle. This new man is constantly being renewed or developed until he attains the mature knowledge of the God who recreated him. The more a believer knows and understands of God, the more he will like God in character, the more he will actually be like God in character and conduct. Now, here in 11, for there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. Not only is that new man to put sin to death. He is also to put away man-made barriers that divide people and that nourish the vices of the old life among renewed humanity, where are no natural ceremonies, culture, or social distinctions. To the redeemed, Christ is all. That is, he is everything, and he is what matters most to him and to them, and Christ is in all. That is, he dwells in all believers. Now, put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness of long-suffering. Put on literally means to dress oneself. The clothes here used metaphorically, it means to take on or assume certain virtues and qualities. And this vows of mercy means heartfelt compassion. You see, he wasn't telling us to put on clothing there. Not these outward clothing that we wear. He's telling us to put on those things that will clothe him spiritually. 13. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. The fact of believer there in 13 being urged to assume virtues of verse 12 signifies that none has yet arrived spiritually. As the believer is developing his virtues, he must be forbearing, forgiving toward his fellow church members, for his Christian brother is also in the process of acquiring the virtues of verse 12 and therefore retains some flaws, deficiencies, and weakness. Hence the need of forbearance and forgiveness. And we're to walk also with a lot of other things. But 14 has given us one of the most important. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Charity is love. And here called the bond of perfectness. Love is the growing grace, completing the list of virtues required for perfectness of spiritual maturity. As a bond, it binds all other virtues together in harmony and in unity. And this is what we must have in our churches today. They need to all come back, tear these walls down, repent of the things they've been doing, back into the Word of God as the Word of God is written, and have this love, unity, and togetherness in God and with each other, instead of being separated like they have done and this denomination don't go with this other one over here because they don't believe alike. There is only one. Belief. And that is the apostles' belief. And we are told to preach no other. But a lot of them are doing it. Because they are preaching things that are contrary to the word of Almighty God. Now 15. And let the peace of God rule in your heart, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. The peace of God is the harmony and concord created by God among his people. It is to rule. And you know, in the Greek verb means to act as an umpire who makes decisions in all athletic contests. Thus, let the peace of God rule in your heart means that when believers are at odds with each other, whatever course of action best maintains peace and foster harmony is the course to be taken. Now, as long as that course is within the bounds of the Spirit and the Word of Almighty God. Now, Verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns, spiritual songs, and singing with grace in your heart to the Lord. You know, when believers are forbearing and forgiving and loving toward one another, and when peace reigns among God's people, then the church is fertile soil for the blessing produced by the word of Christ. Telling us a whole lot of things, isn't it? We're seeing a lot of things here in this word of Almighty God. Now, 17. And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. The beneficial influence produced by the indwelling word of Christ is not only to affect public and private worship, but is also to control all areas of a Christian's life. Think about this. Look how many times we have been told that we are to walk as the child of God constantly. We are to walk in and with the Spirit of Almighty God at all times. And we are to do everything we do in accordance with the Lord Jesus Christ. And just the same as if we was doing it for him. 18. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as it is fit in the Lord. Well, wifely submission cannot be forced. It must come from her own free will, as it is fit in the Lord, means that the wife's submission to her husband is proper in her relationship with Christ. Submission rendered her husband is submission rendered to Christ. Now, that is providing he is a man of Almighty God. Now, as long as you are staying with him, you are to love him, yes. And you are to listen to him in all things, unless he is trying to get you to do things that is against the Word of God. Now, husbands, he hasn't left us out either. We're 19. Husband, love your wives and be not bitter against them. We are to love our wives. That is the duty of husband, is to love our wife. Now, the same affection with which God so loved the world, this type of love is a willing and sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of another without thought of return. Be not bitter against them, which means do not be harsh toward them. The husband who loves his wife will not be rude, unkind, or cruel toward her. This implies that wifely submission is gained in part by the husband's love. Think about these things. And so many more marriages would be saved. Because right now, we're a little over 50% of all marriages end in divorce, which causes a lot of other sins on the part. Now 20. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. You know, this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. In most manuscripts of faith, the oldest, and well-pleasing in the Lord, that is obedience to parental authority, is pleasing to the Lord. In the child's relationship with him, the obedience given to parents is obedience given to Christ. Now, fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Now, we know we are to love our children. We are to correct them, yes. But we're not to constantly pick, nag, in order to upset them either. Because to do things that will cause them to be discouraged. Now, 22. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever ye do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, and not unto men, knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Now, you see, as we come to those two verses there, 23 and 24, he says, do it heartily means the slave is to perform his duties wholeheartedly, doing the best job he can with all his strength. And a slave could be enthusiastic in carrying out his menial tasks because they were done not so much for his earthly master unto men, but for his heavenly master to the Lord. And the reward of his inheritance, or the reward which is salvation, the fact that Christian slaves will receive salvation from the Lord rather than from men, verifies the assertion in verse 23 that they serve Christ, not their master. And read here with the last verse. But he that doeth wrong shall receive for the wrong which he has done. And there is no respecter of persons. Think about this. There's no respecter of persons. We have now come to the end of chapter 3. God really, maybe at 6 o'clock, we can get into full of chapter 4. All right. Let us pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Father, once again, I thank you, Father, for this word. And I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Father, I thank you for the times that we can come together to study your word so that we can gain the knowledge and be able to do the work, Father, that you would call upon us to do. Father, I now pray for Israel and the land here in which we live. And I pray for peace for them. And I pray, Father, for us all to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, as our Messiah. And Father, that this land in which I live will repent of its evil deeds that it's brought upon this land and its people, and work with us to put our government back upon the foundation which you have founded, and that being your word and the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray for all that has listened this morning to this message, that they have received something that will move them closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, stronger in thy word, Father. And I pray for them all who will see this day in hell safely and be back with us this evening, Father, at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. All right, everyone. Have a great, great day. Walk with God. He'll walk with you. Bye-bye now.